If I would have had
Love
a spouse like
Talk Radio.
Hey folks, this is the Diary. This is your host, Stacy, and I'm here with Ray.
Hey.
Out of Sacramento, every Sunday from 3 to 4. This is Memorial Day pre-show celebration.
Oh, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. After 12, you know, you never know. You know what I'm saying? You never know what's going on over here.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what we're doing today. We're doing a little bit of that. We're doing a little bit of everything because, of course, I want to run my mouth, and I run my mouth too much. So we're going to try to limit that to topics that we actually say we're going to talk about. So it's so many things we say we're going to talk about today. I'm going to go over the history of Memorial Day.
Oh, that's
cool. Well, how that started. And I do remember it used to be called Decoration Day. Remember that?
Decoration Day.
You remember, you're old like me, 71.
Oh,
all right. We were watching Charlie's Angels when they were calling it
really?
Out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like she decorated. Because we would decorate their graves. So
right.
That's what it would be.
Oh, I thought.
Remember?
Oh, no.
Memorial Day, yeah,
it
used to be called that, changed in 71, and that's why I'm here, because I love history. You know, history is who we are, and we got to know our history. So we're going to talk about Memorial Day, we're going to talk about Joe Sestak and that shit, and all he wanted to clear his heart all of a sudden, you know, this week, and we're going to talk about the oil spill that just won't stop, and they can't stop it. Let's see, a trial that one of my buddies made me aware of at the White Cop, and you were supposed to look that up, and I was supposed to give it to you, and I didn't, on trial for torturing black men to
commit
crime.
I didn't have any of the info.
No,
but
yeah,
I can
we
find
have
it now. I can find it.
Okay, yeah, so we'll find that, but we'll just mention it.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about Memorial Day, and then we're going to talk about experiences with black people in business. And just some of the stuff that I've experienced, you know, about that and how, you know, it's like a struggle. I feel like, you know, I don't know how those people felt because they were back then and I'm here now, but just seeing your people just so bad off and, you know, and just waking up day to day and seeing the same old crap every day and feeling powerless at some point to do anything, but yet powerful enough to think, you know, you could do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk about my experience with black people in business, my experience with white people in business, and we're going to talk about all of that this week. So this is the Diary. You know, this is the talk show for the Association of African-American Single Mothers, and, you know, I talk about pretty much everything that's on my heart because I'd like people to learn the lessons that I've learned. And I feel so blessed. You know, it's hot today in Sacramento. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And I've made it a habit now that I really are on my own pretty much to walk in the morning, early morning, and walk in the evening, even though I did buy a treadmill when I got outfit out of my job, and it hasn't been. But then one of my buddies said, you lost so much weight. And I was like, yeah, I lost 20 pounds. I lost 20 damn pounds. I could see a waistline and stuff. And he came in, he said, well, you walk in and you got the thing right here. I was like, yeah, but it's more natural to walk. So, you know, all of that, I feel so good about my daughter and her relationship. And that's what I want to start the show off with right now. And I didn't even add that part because relationships are so damn important. We as individuals, we're supposed to be the first relationship, you know, we have is with our mom because, you know, supposedly she's supposed to be the first person we see and teach us how to live and teach us what relationships and the relationship we have with our mother, we really kind of bonds the relationship we have with people all over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's scientifically proven that the way that a child is touched and taken care of in his first year of life, and usually that's by the mom, we hope, determines how they interact with people for the rest of their lives. So, you know, I had opportunity, you know, relationships on both ends. I was talking to you today about how my daughter was talking to my brother, her uncle, Kevin, who, you know, he was at Twitter and from the nail shop getting his feet done and wondering if he should have the sandpaper on his feet. She tweeted back, hey, Uncle Kevin, you know, no, they're not supposed to have it like that. And they're going back and forth. And Jessica, you're so beautiful. And send me pictures of the baby. And, you know, relationships, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what things are all about with the family and all of that stuff. And I truly think it's the mother's job to nurture those relationships in the family, you know. So I was talking to Jesse back and forth through my phone because that's how we talk to our kids now. We text them when they're not around. You know, it's convenient. And she gave me the best compliment. She said, Mom, you know, you've always been the backbone of our family, you know, and And I was like, yeah, you know, that's very true. And like yesterday morning, she texts me. She says, Mom, are you asleep? And anytime Jessica texts me with a question, I mean, there's some problems. So I'm like, oh, shit. No, babe, you can call me now. So she called me. And I guess, you know, her and Rodney already having problems.
Oh, no.
You know, and it's like relationships. So I'm like, you know, this is my chance. This is my chance to help my daughter with my mom. They just didn't do it back then. This is my chance to help my daughter to see, because they've known each other long enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's only been here a week, so what the fuck happened in that week? You know what I'm saying?
They haven't even really had a chance.
Well, they haven't had a chance to do anything. You know, and you've been so cool back and forth. For a year, 2 years, you've known each other, a year and a half over the phone, going back, breaking up, getting back together, and now he's hearing y'all. He goes, you know, it's crazy. So she told me her part, and of course, being a mom, I'm going to let all out. This is what she's telling. Da, 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 da. And call me back.
Wow.
She's like, Mom, that's why I love you. And so I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So she calls me back, and she says, Mom, he wants to talk to you. And I'm like, I'm loving this because, you know, I'm all in this. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I don't want to be in your personal business.
Right, but I can.
But I can be your, you know, if you guys are calling me, I said, this is ridiculous. Something is going on. You
right.
know, something is wrong. You want to go back already? What the fuck? I said, did you buy it 2 weeks? And Jesse got all kind of shit. She done came to theories why. And he's done. He's been very nice to her in a lot of ways that I just found out, of course, because they fight, and so the truth goes
right.
out. He's been very sweet to her. But they've been, I mean, it's perfect. So we talk, and he gives me his time. And I'll say, okay. Just stop. If you want to keep, well, Mom, Miss Johnson. And then he's very polite. He goes between Mom and Miss, no, babe, I got you. I said, shut the fuck up. I got you. I said, I understand my daughter better than you do. I get her back on the phone. I said, he ain't going to deal with you just yelling at him the first time y'all disagree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, Jesse. I said, why do you think you're a bro? I said, that's not men. Men can't, they lose their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to not yell. If you do anything, that's the one thing you don't want to do. That's the quickest way to run a dude out, just because they physically, mentally, they can't handle that. They can't. There's certain shit you can't handle as a woman, but there's certain shit they can't handle.
Yes.
So I'm letting you know. You know, this is how you do it. And, you know, they're giving me both. Oh, he called me stupid. And I talked to him. I'm like, what? You know, this is the same woman. You know her. This other dude had her in the New York snow with the baby by herself.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the street, you know she ain't, so she back and she got shit going on. That's why you here. So I said, that's the one thing you can't do. You know, and I just figured out relationships. I said, you know what you guys' problem is? You don't know how to talk to each other.
Uh-huh.
Learn how to talk to each other. No, you can't call her stupid and expect her and I to go off and then pull that typical black woman statement, this is my house, get the fuck out. I mean, that's in our, that, I think we born with that in our genes. All this
right.
is my house, get the fuck out. You know, and
wow.
a guy can't handle it. So relationship, you know, learn how to talk to each other. And I guess everything's cool because I call back, find out, you know. And she, and I texted her, said, you know, the only problem, I texted him too, same time. So the only problem you two got is that you don't know how to talk to each
mm-hmm.
other. I said, learn how to talk to each other. Learn how to respect what the other person thinks, even if you don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's how you build great relationships. I said, look at me. You know what I'm saying? Take your time and get to know somebody. You guys already beat that. You've already known each other a year and a half. You can't tell me that after one argument, he bought a one-way ticket, Jesse. He didn't have no intention on leaving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So work that shit out. He's a very nice guy. Your family likes him. His family likes you. I like everybody. Everybody likes each other. Elijah likes each other. He's feeling normal. I said, learn how to fucking talk to each other. You know, so on the other hand, Uncle Kevin, relationship. And I said, you know, and that's the difference. And I told her, I said, that's the difference between me and Uncle Kevin. I said, Uncle Kevin is the director of music at Spelman College because he had somebody, he had a relationship behind him where someone was on his side. He was able to do what he had to do. They were able to work things out. They just didn't say, fuck it. They had three kids. They stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
And now he had to shop getting his feet done. And he's the director, once again, of music at Spelman College and has a doctorate in music and dropped out of high school when he met his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship. That's what relationship will do for you. on my end, what I marry is sorry, thieving motherfucker, that there was just no relationship possible.
Right.
Because you can't have a relationship with somebody that steals from you, his own kids, your kids, and himself, and think it's cool.
Right.
You know, I had, and you know, I said relationship. If I would have taken the time, you know, if I would have had that backbone, imagine where your mom would be. Now I have to do it now 20 years later, now that I got all y'all out the house.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're in the same position. You have a big relationship. Work on relationships. That's what you
do.
Good. That's how things work, you know, and that's why I'm the love doctor. And this is why this is a diary, you know, and that's what things are all about. Black people have to work on relationships. First of all and foremost, get a relationship with your higher power, and then that way you get to know yourself. When you get to know yourself and your higher power, you're going to be good. And then you'll be able to softly, kindly get to know other people because she said, oh, me and Rodney are just too different. Well, oh, duh. Everybody on this earth is different. Nobody has the same
right.
set of genes, and even twins are different in some
right.
way. So, duh, this is a diary. I'm the love doctor. And I get everybody love but myself. So we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. We're coming back out of SAC. We'll be right back, and we're claiming the love doctor. That was the love doctor, and love is good, and that's what life is all about. I think we are changing. Things are changing. America's changing, and people need to change and wake the hell up. And there's nothing more important than relationships, especially with family first. You know, after you have that good, great relationship with God of your choice, and I don't want to pick nobody's God, but mine happens to be Jesus. And when you have a personal relationship with your God, then, you know, that just helps you just know who you are, and that way you can go and help other people. So know who you are first, you know, and be truthful in everything that you do. And it's really not fair to people in relationships when you're not truthful from beginning to end. You know, you're just setting yourself up for, first of all, some badass karma. And second of all, you know, people don't need that in their life. If you don't have a relationship with them, have it. Or if you're not going to be truthful and honest, don't do it. Because life's too short, times are short. You know, and people need to just be right. Just try being right, and then everything else will fall in place. So this is the Diary Church on Sunday.
Wow.
The minister pastor of the Holy Church of Natomas, me and Ray. But, you know, you ain't even got to be a pastor, you know. There's not enough of those people doing right to teach the rest of us how to be. I surely believe that. I don't know, you know, organized religion or not. So it's up to us righteous brothers in whatever way we can to be right to each other. So
yeah, you know, and how do you think you might walk with your spirit? You should call in and tell us about it at 917-889-9946.
No, Miss Cleo, ain't nobody say nothing about walking with the spirit that I'm talking about.
Oh, you're so cute.
And I have to mention Lorraine. I need to take a picture and put her on the show because she's looking very wonderful today. I don't know why.
Sweet.
She must have a hot
Thank
date.
You. I don't.
Just to come over my house.
I had a hot date for
Well, that's your sorry fault. That's your fault. Like my daughter said, mother, they're not going to come to your door, okay?
That's true.
That's the best thing in the world.
Unless it's the cable guy.
Oh, you want a
guy. Yeah, well.
Mr. Lee's already married, and he's got three kids. Trust me, he's already been here three or four times.
I dated a cable guy once. It was
Oh, sure. You know what? Let's go. Let's go. Okay, let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. Joe Sestak, and come on, you talk about that, because that's political.
No.
Give me your thoughts.
Because I haven't updated myself on that.
It's all that's been on the news.
I haven't updated.
Okay, the issue.
In Arizona on my end.
Well, you watch Fox News? Because I watch CNN, and that's all that's been on.
Oil in Arizona. That's what's been on CNN for me.
Okay, check it out. Sestak. Yeah, well, it's been on there, too, because he came out confessing. And I guess, and that's why I say our government. That was the storyline on the show page. Our government is just corrupt, so... Now we're realizing just how corrupt we are, because the basis of it all is they offered him a position to not run against somebody Arlen Specter's ass.
So that's politicking. It irritated me because, to me, a little bit of that is like salesmanship. So what? So they offered him something different. Please don't do
but
this.
But it's illegal.
To a point. Once you cross a certain line, I don't think they crossed that line.
Okay, well.
Well,
so
who knows?
That's it.
Okay, I know that pretty well.
My whole point is, it's like we're all stuck down here hoping people do right by us, and they're doing this kind of shit.
Well, I think people are looking for a lot of political problems when they should be focusing on the big issues of the day, like the oil spill, like Arizona.
And what caused the oil spill? A bunch of crooked ass shit.
But
no regulations,
right?
You know,
government things.
Even in my car, I got a set of cables because I know my battery might die and I might need
backup.
That was what caused this fucking explosion. Not thinking they'd have to go and look at that shit ever in life.
You know what that is?
How dumb is that?
That's why you have jumper cables in the back of your car. Female insight. Intuition. That's why it didn't happen. You know, we can throw out all these other ideas.
We're women in charge.
Exactly.
And let's stop putting money in charge.
That's
and you know what? My homeboy Dave, he came over here. See, and that's another thing. We got so much shit to talk about. My homeboy Dave, he said, well, you know the sensory shit, and he works for Shell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he works at the gas station, so he knows the prices of the gas.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, since this happened, gas has just been going down. I said, Dave, you know what? I said, I'm an insurance person, and I'm almost certain that America has insurance against shit that other countries come in and fuck up, which basically BP's from another country. They came in, and they basically have fucked up our coast on that side. And I'm thinking, if that was L.A., where I grew up, like those people are over there, devastated, and it's something that's going to go on for generations. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like God must be saying, look what you are doing to my fucking earth.
That's why I'm making
over money.
All over. You know, they keep
that's what I'm saying. A whole bunch of stuff is all over.
Yeah, you know.
That's why my whole point is like, oh, don't talk about that. Well, you know what? At some point, we need to wake up and face the motherfucking music and see the signs. And that stuff will be going on forever, pretty much, in terms of you've killed everything in that water.
Oh, yeah.
And then you wait. It's unbelievable to me. That's something like, okay, that's the same as saying, well, a fucking nuclear bomb hit in on the east side of the coast.
Right. No,
that's the same shit, right?
It is.
Right? And we're just supposed to be all medicated or whatever we do to say, oh, okay, well, let's just keep, okay.
That's why.
Let's get these motherfuckers that's in charge of this fucked up ass system we got.
Yeah.
Out and put in something new.
And the kind of action items that we need are the things like that happened when Obama finally put the moratorium on oil drilling. You can't have that still going on, people still digging
oil. Oh, my God.
You know,
there's so many ways.
There
are so many ways to help us stop using fucking oil.
And it would be such a
gift. So many ways. It's about the heat up here in Sacramento. I know I can have solar everything in this fucking city.
Exactly. We
can
try in California.
And corporate, greedy, people that think your employees can't work from home because you got to be up their ass 24/7. Let them work from fucking home.
And think of the insurance.
Oh my God! No, I got to be up their ass. But if they're Caucasian, yeah, they work from home. But all the people of color, we need offices for them.
Really?
I live that shit.
Okay.
For 10 damn years.
Come
on now. Yeah, that's it.
That's
even the Hispanic lady said, "Well, you know, all the brown people got to come in."
Oh,
well, if they quit, you know, if this country get back to their You know, don't even get me started on that shit. And don't get me started on the trial that some white dude, and we're going to find out about that, is on trial now for torturing black men into confessing on crimes that they didn't commit.
Oh, my God. Some
you know, I guess. Who else could torture a motherfucker? Please, you'd have to have a gun and a badge or some shit like that to get me to. I would never kill me. you know, I can't.
Oh, yeah.
And when people just need to stop compromising basic principles. When people are able to do that, then we will be able to go on and be a better society if it's not already too late, you know. And I got a damn grandson, one from one kid, you know, and I got two sons that I will wish one day would just stop getting fucked with on GP. I mean, before I die, I just hope Christopher and Freddie Posey will stop just getting fucked with on GP because they black men. And people just scared of them, and they have done absolutely nothing. That's what I hope before I die, and I'm only 45. And I don't know when God's going to take me away. But, you know, that's the kind of world we need to be striving for. And you know, people telling me all this week, you know, Stacey, you're a racist. You're a racist. You even said it. You're a racist. Yeah, Jessica say you're a racist. And
I never say anything about racism.
Okay.
Yeah, we're a little close-minded when it comes to the ideas of other people's plights just as, you know.
Not other people.
Yeah, other people meaning, like, say, for instance, the Mexicans being.
What part of the plight?
The fact that they have civil war going on.
See, and I meant to look up the damn, I meant to look up the damn definition of racist, and I am. Because, you know, I'm not a racist. To me, the definition of racist means you just hate a motherfucker just because of who they are. Is that the definition?
It could be.
No, it is not
very close.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Okay. Well, you're telling me I hate Mexicans just because they're Mexican. You're telling me that I hate white people just because they're white. Is that what you're telling me? Knowing me who I am.
Actually, I would say that might be true more for the white people than for the black people. The Mexican people, I do think that you have respect for what they do. I think you want them to be legal.
I hate white. So all the white people you've known that I've known, you think I just hate them and I let them in my house and I work with them and I hate them?
People do that all the time with us.
Oh, so you're saying I'm a hypocrite on top of it.
It's difficult.
Well, let me tell you. No, it's not difficult because I'm not a racist. No, it's not. It's not difficult. Not for me because I'm not a racist.
Okay.
Because if a racist hates a motherfucker just because of who they are, that's not me.
Okay?
I hate a white motherfucker and just hates me.
Right.
That's what I hate. So I hate racism.
But you just paint back inequality if they're going to hate you.
Well, why hate me? There are people out there that just hate me because I am black.
Right.
I don't hate anybody black on face value. I'm gonna get to know anybody that's white that comes my way.
Right.
And you know, through my nonprofit, through personal shit, I've dealt with a lot of white people.
Okay.
I cut their ass off when they show their human nature of stabbing you in the back or some shit like that.
But you won't cut black people off, but probably
I will cut black people off.
But you're not in the same
way. I'll cut their ass off first. What the hell are you talking about?
The same way.
What are you talking about?
Because with them you would say it's because, see, look, if they did me wrong, it's
because
they're
because
white.
Because I know. No.
Yes, usually you do.
Because you know what? You know what? Because black people and white people get at each other in totally fucking different ways.
Well, that's to you. But for my...
We're not talking about you. We're talking about me. And you calling me around. We're not talking about you.
The only reason
we're not talking about you.
Me at all was because I was saying
you call me a racist.
Perspective.
I'm not talking about you.
Different people.
So I'm not a racist.
Yeah. Okay.
Now,
and why you continually defend that then? defend it and put it out.
I'm against racism. But I don't care what people think. I'm on the radio right now.
Well, I don't talk into people, right? Telling them right.
But you know what? There are so many black people, mm-hmm. and that's who I talk for, that think exactly the same way.
Okay.
I think mixed up ass white people would think I'm a racist because they ain't sat down with me
mm-hmm.
or no other black person to sit down and have a civil conversation and an understanding.
Well, I'm a black person that if I sat down with you and listened to you say some of the things that you say about white people, I would think you were racist, and I'm black.
No, because that's wrong, because I have a white friend that I sat here yesterday morning and made breakfast for and everything else
mm-hmm.
that says, Stacey, I see some of the shit that you put up there.
Oh, I'm sure.
And, but listen.
I agree with you. I'm not saying
no.
so far.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
White would ever agree with
can I, but that's all I care about. The racist is not going to agree with me. But the open-minded Caucasian person that knows me and knows where I'm coming from understands, just like Dave did yesterday. And I gave him the same damn speech I'm giving you right now. And guess what? His white ass understands it more than you do. So I don't even want to hear that. I don't even want to hear it.
I think I'm coming from looking at it.
Yeah, you come
a certain way, having different experiences with
Dave. I've known Dave longer than I know you.
Dave has worked
with me.
Really?
Okay. Yes, with the nonprofit.
He's kind of deep in
it. Yeah, he's seen me call people racist, and he's seen me use the N-word. He's seen all of that. So it's not like I hate every black person and what I'm saying,
white person,
and what I'm saying, white people,
uh-huh.
for the same reason, you shouldn't just off top hate every black person. And that's what a racist does. I'm not a racist. I don't give a fuck about nobody else, but I'm not a racist. And as far as Hispanics, yes, I love their culture. I love any culture that takes care of their fucking family
mm-hmm.
because black people don't.
That's what I was
but
saying.
But the only thing I don't like, you don't have any right, persecution or fucking not, okay, to come over here illegally and do what you do. And, I got so much other shit to say, and we just going to top it off right here. You know I work with white men in the construction industry,
yeah.
helping them get some work. Well, they say, Stacey, I can't get it over there because you know why? All the illegal labor they use, the other white men that are in charge that's making all the money,
mm-hmm.
all that illegal labor they use, they underbid us so much, it's not even worth our time. So I said, you know what I'm going to do on your behalf, Mr. White Man, because if I was a racist, I'd tell him to go kiss my black ass.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know what I'll do for you? I said, I'm going to contact developers, and I'm going to see if what their philosophy is on hiring illegal labor. Because I know I don't want you to waste your time. I talked to two people. I talked to one. He said, well, the bids are coming in pretty low. To me, that said, I'll use illegal labor, and I don't give a fuck about you and nobody else or the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, click, goodbye, thank you very much. Okay,
mm-hmm.
called another one and said, hey, my guys are thinking, you know, they don't want to waste their time and I don't want to waste their time. These are licensed men, they pay for their licenses, they pay for insurance, and, you know, the job that we, you know, whatever is worth what they pay for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're concerned that you guys down there are getting a bunch of illegal labor and it's hurting everybody.
Yeah.
And one guy had a good conversation with me. He said, I can assure you if I call them and they can't speak English, they can't understand what I'm saying, they can't
mm-hmm.
provide supplier information like we need it, Stacey, we're not going to deal with them. So I said, well, that's assurance enough for me. So a racist wouldn't have done that shit. You
yes.
see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
You know, I'm the, and,
yes,
and some
I
of the
do.
Other personal stuff I'm going to tell you I did this morning that I'll share with my daughter. Just because, I may say some fucked up shit and point it at white people,
right.
I'm pointing it at white people that, you know, think the Katrina shit was cool and black people
right.
just used to living like that. Or, you know, just automatically off top just hating my son or assuming that he's, you know,
yeah.
that's the motherfucker I hate and I fight that shit.
Well,
so,
can I just say real quick,
woo!
You know, your blogs on your page are great and you should point that out too because some of it singularly by itself does sound like you have a racist attitude about things and you wouldn't want somebody to get the wrong impression. So if I
well, I'll write a blog tomorrow morning about how I'm not a racist.
I think you should, because what you just said cleared up a lot for a lot of people.
You know, what's a racist? What is the definition of a racist?
You start out the blog with the definition.
You know,
I think you're very close when you said what you said.
You know, don't be scared. You know, and I didn't invent the word. It ain't like that word came out of Africa. All right, so we're going to take a break. It's halftime. We're going to play Ghetto Bound, because that is where my people are not headed, racist or no racist. Let's go, baby.
Okay.
Ghetto Bound. This is the diary that your host, Stacey, and Ray coming out of SAC every Sunday. And this is so much fun. You know, I sure hope when I get to heaven, my mother and father go laugh their ass off when we talk about this stuff. So, anyway, so we're going to talk about Memorial Day because we need to talk about that and the history of that. Because, you know, my dad served in the military and two brothers and two nephews. And only God knows how many other people I don't know about in my family. But, you know, we serve this family very proudly. And speaking of that, I put on the website just today something, a video from the History Channel, Blacks in the Military. So go there, on it, and watch it for tomorrow because, you know, it goes through our history of how we served this country, you know. And if it wasn't for the achievements, the sufferings, the dedication, everything great you could think of black people, you know, America wouldn't be. And I'm just talking about black people. I know everybody else, Lorraine. But I'm talking about my people, all right?
Sure.
All right. So, you know, black people did a lot. So Memorial Day. And this, all right, so we're going to talk about that real quick, and I'm going to do this little thing real quick. And this Memorial Day, which falls on the last Monday of May, commemorates the men and women. Let's not forget about the women. Oh, and I saw some on the History Channel, black women, the Delta Force.
Oh, yeah.
Black women, oh, man. It's like, yeah, there's a Delta everywhere. Black women, they got it going on. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Who, black men and women who died while, thank God my parents, nobody died, but while serving in the American military, originally known as Decoration Day. It originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries or memorials, holding family gatherings, and participating in parades. Unofficially, at least, it marks the beginning of summer. Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day because it was a time set aside to honor the nation's Civil War dead by decorating their graves. It was first widely observed on May 30, 1868, to commemorate the sacrifices of Civil War soldiers, by a proclamation of General John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of former sailors and soldiers. On May 5, 1868, Logan declared the General Order No. 11 that on 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. In this observance, no form of ceremony is prescribed, but post and comrades it will, in their own way, arrange such fitting services and testimonials with respect as circumstances may permit. And that's with the General Order 11. During the first celebration of Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, after which 5,000 participants helped to decorate the graves of more than 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried in the cemetery. The 1868 celebration was inspired by local observances of the day in several towns throughout America that had taken place in the 3 years since the Civil War. In fact, several northern and southern cities claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day, including Columbus, Mississippi, Macon, Georgia, Richmond, Virginia, Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, B-O-A-L-S-B-U-R-G, and Carbondale, Illinois. Okay? All right. In 1966, the federal government, under direction of President Lyndon Johnson, declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day. They chose Waterloo, which had first celebrated the day on May 5, 1866, because the town had made Memorial Day an annual community-wide event during which businesses closed and residents decorated the graves with soldiers with flowers and flags. By the late 1800s, many communities across the country had begun to celebrate Memorial Day, and after World War I, observances also began to honor those who died in all of America's wars. In 1971, Congress declared Memorial Day a national holiday to be celebrated the last Monday in May. Veterans Day, a day set aside to honor all veterans, living and dead, is celebrated each year, November 11th. Today, Memorial Day is celebrated at Arlington National Cemetery with a ceremony in which a small American flag is placed on each grave. Also, it is customary for the president or vice president to give a speech honoring the contributions of the dead and to lay wreaths at the tomb of the unknown soldier. About 5,000 people attend the ceremony annually. Several southern states continue to set aside a special day for honoring the Confederate dead, which is usually called Confederate Memorial Day. Da-da-da-da, and that is it.
That's cool. Do you know who places all those flags on all those little graves?
Who? Little bitty men from Mars.
No, close.
Oh,
Boy
close.
Scouts.
That's
Scouts and Mars.
That's appropriate.
Do you see from different different clubs?
That's appropriate.
You know, they go out there and they've shown footage on it for years on CNN.
That's appropriate.
And they just with precision and their little voice cutting.
Oh yeah.
Because you know their moms knew they were going to Arlington National.
You know Freddie and Chris were Boy Scouts.
They just place the flag and they just go down the road.
Okay, I got you. You know Freddie and Chris were Boy Scouts?
No, I didn't.
Boy Scouts with braids and long hair.
That's
little girl. Even their little girl. I'm at the Boy Scout. I got the little pin. I'm wearing the boys' pants.
Boys' pants.
Little girl.
Yeah. People didn't get it a lot.
They never got it. Yeah, but that was so cool. And me and Jesse passed by somewhere where we went camping one year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us going, right? I said, she's like, oh, camp, well, whatever it was. I was like, yeah, remember that? We went camping. She's like, oh, yeah, I remember. And she's like 10 or 12, you know. But, yeah, that's a great experience for boys, you know, and keep them in it. You know, I think with my boys it was like too, quote, gay to be in the Boy Scouts at some point, so they didn't want to do it anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, there's other things to do. But, yeah, Boy Scouts, that's great, and that's so appropriate. You know, and okay, so since we're talking about it, I'm going to preface, once again, I am not a racist because I'm going to give you another example because that kind of hurt my feelings all week.
You know,
I walked around all week. I said, you know what? I'm going to be nice
we
to
need
everybody.
When we have an experience like that, then talk it out with me then.
I need therapy.
I wouldn't want it to be hurtful.
I was I did a marathon today trying to get to the little adult beverage store before the show. On the way back, I was like, oh, I made good time. I made so good time. You could tell I'm losing weight because I got down there quick and
right on.
But I saw one young dude in military gear, you know, clean up his Subaru. I said, hey, my car's over there if you want to hook it up. And, you know, he was kind of like, at first, you know, maybe that's just me. See, and my daughter said, you got to stop thinking that way because when you think that way, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had that nigger don't talk to me look on his face, you know? And he had a little haircut, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay. You know, and he said something, and I said, yeah. I said, you got the best car. And I said, that's the best car in the world. It'll go anywhere. And I kept walking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, he had the military, and it's Memorial Day. And I'm thinking, wanted to ask him, was he in the military? So I walked back. And I said, hey, are you in the military? And it was like I had, like, two strippers next to me because he opened up.
Hey.
And I was into this and that, and I did this and that. And my mom wouldn't let me go. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on, I don't hear you, because I was so far away. And I went back,
uh-huh.
and we talked, you know, and had a good conversation.
That's good.
And he's like, yeah, I wish I could, but, you know, you had everything on. I said, well, you know, nowadays there's no telling who's got to defend our country, right? I said, you know, when I left, I said, very good, young man. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, it's not too late. You can join the reserves because he looks pretty young. He's like, oh, no, I hurt my back. I hurt my back, then I had an accident, and I was in a car accident. And I was like, yeah, you probably got to be one. So I'm not a racist. A racist wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was right.
Oh. I don't think you were clear on that. Now I get why you're making that point. But,
with me. We'll get right here with me. Right here with me.
No, I think that you. I don't think you approach things in that like clinical hard-handed type way, but you have been trigger finger fast to put blame on
white people for everything in America. Who the hell else is in charge of it?
Well, no, but now it's so.
It ain't like Nelson Mandela been running.
But now it's so much more of an economic thing than it is a color thing because.
Well, they broke their own white people. That's all. That's the only new shit that's happened.
Right. And a lot of those white people, both rich and poor, are.
Well, now they know what it feels to be black.
Some of them are well-meaning and helpful.
Oh, yeah, well,
like,
send
them
to me. Tell them to send me an email, all the well-meaning ones. All right, we ain't going to get on that.
Yeah.
I said I'm not
okay.
A racist. Anyway.
No.
All right.
No, I do apologize if I hurt you that.
You did. You hurt
I'm
me.
Sorry.
You really did. Okay.
I'm sorry.
You hurt me. Now, give me your thoughts, though, on the trial of the. You don't have any thoughts on the trial of the white dude that's on trial for torturing the black dude?
I don't know enough about that.
It's one, you know, well,
they
just
a little bit about it.
Well, you don't have a thought about it? It's fucked up. Can you say that?
If it's, I mean, just on the face of the fact or in the sentence that you just said about the white dude torturing the black dude, yeah, that sounds fucked up right there. But I know, but I don't know anything else about the story. I don't.
So I'm saying my whole point is whether you know enough or not. If there's one, don't you think it's like...
Oh, God, he probably does it as practice.
But him and, like, how many thousands of others?
Oh, no, that's true, but, you know, and that is something definitely... I think we need to start looking that we can spotlight more of what's going on bad while we're also checking up on what's going on good and really get good idea of where we need to make changes and stuff. So much stuff could go on that is good for our country if we start really looking with a fine-tooth comb and give people jobs that can do that, you know?
You know? Well, you know, okay, all right.
Because we do, we're missing too much.
Everybody in charge is so full of shit, and they've all been so bought out. That
and
it's so
changed horribly, messy.
It's messy, you know? and the simple, it's just, it's horrible. So that's why it's up to regular people to just do the best where you can.
That's true.
You know, just do the best where you can because, you know, just do the best where you can because shit is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what else I was going to talk about.
Well, I don't know, but did you think maybe...
Oh, blacks in business.
Yeah.
That's a sorry-ass subject, and I need to keep that one for last. So, you know what?
I want to go over anything having to do with next... Well, it's almost next week. I think
what?
We have one more show before it actually occurs, the election.
That's the boring, your boring-ass topic.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Well, do you? You have info? You got a couple minutes you want to share?
Well, you know what? One of the things that I do have is very state-specific, and I don't know if
our state?
California.
Well,
not,
of course.
Okay. Because it's hard to get things for the country on a primary because everybody is really worried about
Okay.
People. But I do have some.
Tell me what you're going to talk about because we'll plan to connect with you. Give me an overview of what you'd like to talk about.
Well, it does affect the country. Like, I want to talk about the candidacy of United States Senate candidate Barbara Boxer, who is an incumbent. And one of the big stories in politics right now is the anti-incumbent backlash. And I'm going to talk about just a teeny bit about why being so blanketed about it, everything is not good.
Okay.
Because there are some incumbents that are good for us, and there's something called institutional memory that we need. People who've been there for a long time that know what they've already tried and failed at, not to reinvent the
wheel. Okay. Now that you said that, and yeah, we're going to talk about that in detail next week.
Okay.
Why is it in business, in corporate America, that once an employee gets to age 40, 45, they're considered old, and they always try to shuffle us out the picture.
Oh.
I mean, see, I need to talk to somebody with a work history.
No, it's good.
But isn't that fucked up? And
it's true. Horrible.
And they do that. Or when they know you're about to retire and they owe you something, they find a reason to get you. But yet,
there's never anything in your contracts
it's at will employment.
Oh yeah, okay.
At will means I can fuck you whenever I feel like it.
And most jobs are like that.
And you can quit too, but you know they keep you to where you can't quit. You know you got to come back for two more weeks because you need the check.
Uh-huh.
You know everybody that's got a job know what the hell I'm talking about.
Right.
But on the other hand, I say this on the other hand, when it comes to our government, those old farts are like 80, 90. Can't walk, can't see. But yet they're still there, and it's like a lifetime position.
Which parts of our government are you
talking about? Most of them, right? If you can get elected, I mean, all of them are old, okay? All of them are old.
Well, no, I mean,
all of them are old.
Some are our age or a teeny bit older, maybe in their 50s. But no, they're not a lot old. We have a very young executive branch with our president and vice president. They're young.
Well, that's good. But
and we have.
What about all the senators? And they've been senators for.
Some of them started out young, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And, but,
we can't do that. I mean, by the time we're 40, we out of there.
But that's wrong. It's wrong to have done that because there is something about, like,
I think your brain goes, and I don't think you're of any use to anybody.
Well, maybe sometimes that does occur, but there are scars of it.
And you can't relate. You can't relate. My mother had me at 42 years old. Well, there was nothing we could relate
to. Well, you know what?
How are these people relating to?
That's a good point.
How do men even relate to fucking abortion rights and all of that?
You know what?
I'm so confused.
I'm making a note of that. Because,
make a note.
Because seriously, about the relating part, because that's one of my arguments is not every incumbent is to keep, but not everyone is to throw away. I think that there should be a mix of the new and the old, a good balance.
Right now in America, we need to throw away all the old because it's all fucked up.
No, we can't do that.
Oh,
this
Jesus.
Time.
Okay, look, I need to get happy, so I'm going to play Funk Button so I can be funky and happy when it's all over.
All right.
And, when we come back, we're going to end the show with talking about black people and doing business with black people, doing business for them and trying to have them do business for you, and it's just some crazy shit. And everything needs to change. Everything needs to change.
Play the music. We'll talk in a minute.
All right, we will. Good. All right, this is the diary. This is me and Ray out of SAC 3-4 on Sunday. And, Ray's going to show us how to vote. So listen next
show
week. Because I don't want
to
think about it. She our boatologist.
Yeah.
She's going to tell us how to vote. And, it's cool. It's cool. It's all good.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Jerry Brown, too.
I love Jerry Brown.
I love Jerry. No.
That's
good
my boy.
Stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
He's
definitely
one of the stars of my vote this way for California, and I think he'll do a lot of good for the whole entire country.
And I want everybody to spend quality time with their family tomorrow. My boy Elijah is coming to hang with the Ganny. And you know what? I got to say real quick, my boy Elijah will be 2 in July, and he's basically potty trained.
Oh, that's good.
He doesn't even pee in the bed overnight.
That's good.
And I told Jess, she was cutting
diapers, right?
You know, I'm I'm like,
gotta be like a small.
Oh, even pull ups, you know? And I was like, yeah, so we gonna be eating and playing music and having a good time tomorrow. Make sure everybody else does. And you will be here.
Wait till he wears some.
Oh, he's got his tidy whities.
He's been in the washing machine.
He's got his tidy whities, although they're blue and they were some character.
That's cute.
Yes, yes. So
he's not Barney.
No. Oh, no. Anyway, we're gonna be with the fams and Lorray, and we're gonna be here and whoever we can catch at the house eating and having a good time tomorrow, playing some music and drinking, and make sure you do the same. And I just want to end the show really quick. We're working with black businesses because I'm a black business. And, you know, and my people, they just get so funny style. And we have to just stop
funny
kidding.
Style.
Yeah, everybody know a funny style. You know, that come out of 1980.
Kind of like,
yeah, you know, it's like you do stuff that really don't make no sense.
Any sense.
You know, and I want black people to know, you know, we've got a real bad record when it comes to dealing with each other, period.
Yes.
But when it comes
supporting
to business, right. But when it comes to business, you know, business is business. And sometimes you got to do some stuff when you first start, you know, and that's why it's always best to be honest and upfront and do your best. Always try to be above board. But, you know, don't just automatically distrust your own kind. And don't just automatically try to get over on your own kind because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everybody hear my blog. She's like, I go to apologize for being a racist. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I want to teach my black people how to overcome all of these disparities that we fucking have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from our kids being the dumbest to our pockets being the lowest to our HIV being the highest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
preach
on. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, black people, that's what we are today. And that's why UEP Newton got up off his ass and did what the fuck he did. That's why all these people, Martin Luther King said, okay, fuck it, I'll die for your dumb asses. Because ain't nobody going to stand up for you.
And that's why even your boys, even in the face of a whole lot of criticism, keep doing what they're doing, the Southern Poverty Law.
And we have to.
Yeah,
you know, this race, this is racist. This country is racist. We need to face up to the fact, but who gives a fuck? Because, like I said on my blog, you know, at the end of Invictus, you are the master of your destiny. You are the captain of your motherfucking soul. So take possession of that shit and handle your business. So I have the luxury and the beauty of dealing with the black business on one level, and I make sure, you know, I make sure as a black person that I even give them even more attention.
Right.
Because what they're expecting, because that's how we taught each other how to dog the shit out of each other. See, we taught each other that we dog the shit out of each other, no matter what it is.
And it's a baby philosophy, meaning it hasn't been around that long. We can get rid of it.
So when I deal with these people, I make sure I give them, like, triple the customer service. So they can't say, you know, we knew it all. Because that's important to me that we change that shit.
And
that's why I'm in
that,
and it breaks to them. And that's why
I'm like, oh, you're going to come at me that way.
Right.
I like that.
And I have the conversation with these people about it. That we need to change this.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously in business. You know what I'm saying? We need to change this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only way we're going to change it is if we face it one-on-one together.
Yes.
Because nobody else is going to help us change it.
Exactly.
The history of America is the history of making black people feel inferior. Because, once again, I know from personal experience, if we begin to feel that who we really are and where we really come from and what we've really accomplished, and that is something to be proud of and to take within us and to do better, we would take this motherfucker over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why we got everybody trying to keep you so down, black men, black everything, black women, first to lose a job, first to whatever, whatever, HIV, they're trying to get you because they know if you figure out within yourself the power that you have inside yourself, you're going to figure this shit out, and once again, you're going to take this motherfucker over. So just like Invictus, you are the master of your destiny, which means can't nobody direct your life but you. It may be hard. It's going to be difficult, but you know what? It's going to be rewarding in the end. Find you a higher power. Find you something you need to do that makes you feel comfortable. And most of all, black people, in order to succeed, you need to find peace in your life. So wherever that, whatever that means, get peace in your life. Next week, Ray's going to teach us how to vote, tell us who to vote for, tell us what to do on the political end. And you want to say something? Because Sister Stacy is finished. We're going to hand over the mic to Sister Ray.
I just wanted to do a quick
shout out to who I have to defend for now, which is L.A., the Lakers.
Woo!
And we have to say good things about the performance of Kobe Bryant yesterday.
You know what?
They were saying the most amazing things about him.
You know what? They haters. That's why my boo Kobe is not MVP. They hate her.
The quote from the Phoenix Suns coach about Bryant.
He's amazing.
That they were playing against the guy that's an assassin. He makes all the tough shots.
What did he say? I didn't know if that was Michael or Kobe.
That's what he did.
Yeah, that's right.
He had said that earlier. Then he said, we're playing against the guy that's in the
I mean, right.
Like, we try our best, but we have no comeback.
L.A., baby, so, I love you. Mama and Daddy, thank you for playing. I asked
really
to write that.
Shout
but
out.
I forgot all about that because, you know, these people, everybody was scared and they was bunkered down when that game was on because they heard Stacey, he not.
That was
I heat up. No, I'm yelling at everybody.
No, it was definitely worthy.
You know, shout out to Kobe. Because you know what?
That was ballet, wasn't it?
And performance says it all. Yeah, don't give me the award. You know, give it to LeBron, who can't even get past whatever. But I'm the man. I'm your daddy. You know, and that's how the world's going to treat you, people. That's why you got to have that confidence within yourself and who you are. That's why Kobe going to be out there getting that ring, because there's no doubt Boston ain't taking shit this year.
There you go.
Let's go. This is the diary.
You fired
this
up.
This is the diary. Let's go. Let's go. All right. This is the diary, people. We love you. Have a great, wonderful week.
Right.
Have a wonderful holiday. Elijah,
you go ahead.
Get your butt over here early because Grandma got to give you a whole bunch of kisses. I love y'all. Have a good week. Peace.
Talking about the Lakers.
Yeah, I know. I knew I'd get you going.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Finals, I'm sorry, but that was from college.
Let's go. They made us look like little bitches when they beat our asses last time. There ain't no way. Hell. We ain't taking it this time. It's going to be great.
This is going to be fun.
I know that's right. All right. Tomorrow's going to be fun, too. So.
There you go.
All right. We out.
Okay.